Good morning, Northside.
Good morning.
Good to see you. All right, guys, we are in the middle of our weird series, right? And the whole idea around this weird, our weird series is that if you want what normal people have, then do what normal people do. If you want something different, what few people have, then you got to do what few people do. Right? Because normal is where the crowd is going. Normal is what the world considers fitting in, right? And we've gone over what the reality of normal is. Listen to it. It's being pulled in many different directions. It's feeling overwhelmed, rushed, stressed, broke, in debt. It's having plenty of relational issues. It's divorce. It's living without direction or purpose. It's working for a job you don't like. It's multiple sexual partners. It's cheating, lying, manipulating to get ahead. It's overindulging, guilt, shame, and regret. Normal is making truth optional, saying unkind words, getting even. Normal is overspending. Normal is separating the churchy Sunday you from the everyday you. Normal is greediness and looking out for self. Normal is desiring to be just like everyone else, to be not weird. And we all have choices, right? We can go and do what normal people do. We can be with the crowd. We can travel that direction, or we can get off the path, go another way, which is the weird way, which is the path of Jesus, right? And on that path, that Jesus path, God has something better than normal. He has something better than normal for us. He has something better than where the crowd is going. And God is willing to supply us on that path with anything we need. Look at Matthew 6:33. It says, and he will give you everything you need. But you say, what's the catch? What's the catch to that? Because that sounds magical, right? What is the catch to he will give you everything you need? There's an environment that needs to be met before this happens. And it happens to be the first part of the verse. Look at it. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. Guess what God wants? We talk about this all the time. He wants to be number one. He wants to be above everything and everyone. Everything. And if he is number one, if we seek him first, he is going to give us everything we need. I mean, church, do we believe that this morning? I mean, do we believe it? Because it's in God's word, and God has not faulted on his word yet. He is like 100% right so far. But we say we believe it, but we aren't really willing to try it, right? We're like 60% in the Jesus path and 40% in the crowd path because we're scared. What happens if he doesn't give us everything we need? You see, in the normal path, we have control. We say what we want to do. We say what we want. We say what we like. And we're not willing to hop over to the other side because we don't want to lose control of what if God's wrong? What if God can't supply everything I feel I need? So we split ourselves. We're split, wow. Right? Jean-Claude Van Damme, he's pretty awesome. Yeah, all right. So we split ourselves between the Jesus path and the normal crowd because we're scared. And it gets painful. The splits start to get painful because it's very hard being, actually I did this in Zumba the other day. You would have been proud of me. Yeah, it's amazing, that class. All right, so we're split and it's painful. But we know that God's a jealous God. Without apology, he doesn't care that you know that. Scripture says he's a jealous God. He doesn't want to share allegiance. He doesn't want to share you and two paths. So we say if we want joy, if we want peace, if we want security, if we want purpose, all the things that we're talking about in our weird series, if we want generosity over greed, if we want godly worship rather than worship of ourselves, then we got to stop splitting our ways. We got to stop doing the splits, and we have to get weird in what kind of way?
God.
In a God way. That's what we have to do. But here's the problem, you guys, and I am there with you. There is fear of being weird. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to be different. The reaction that Lady Gaga gets, okay, we don't want that, right? We don't do these things because we don't want people looking at us like, what? We don't want Jackie Chan to say, what? What are you doing? You know this face. You know why? Because you've given this face. right? You've given this face. You've seen something really odd and you've done the Jackie Chan what face, all right? And we don't want that. We don't want to look weird. We want to blend in. We want to look like the crowd. But the Jesus path is never about blending in. It's never about that. 1 Peter 1:16 says, "For the scriptures say you must be holy because I am holy." But holy is intimidating, right? I mean, holy seems reserved for holy people, like nuns or Mother Teresa or their kids on, you know, those little kids on the Little House on the Prairie. They seem so holy, right? It seems reserved for them. And so when we hear in the context that we're supposed to be holy, it's kind of freaky, right? It makes me feel kind of intimidated. Or is that even possible for me? But the context of the word holy comes from hagios, and it means to be set apart. It means to be pure. It means to be different. Sounds a lot like weird, right? Sounds a lot like weird. So holiness is being different from the normal. So holy people don't go the path of the crowd. Holy people aren't split between two worlds. They're on the Jesus path. Now, it's easy for us, and I do this too, to think that being holy is about looking and acting like a holy Christian, right? But anyone can act the part. Anyone can do it, right? Being holy is not about acting the part. Being holy is about an inner desire for a real, authentic heart and life change. But in our culture, we do this. Our culture, we've learned to judge by appearance, right? For example, if I show up some pictures, who do you think these belongings are from? Who do you think that belongs to? A biker, right? We see these things, we say, that's a biker. Or these things. A hippie, or Wendy Buffington, who's not here today, but she had all these things, right? Or these things.
Packers
fan, right? We make, no judge someone. Judge Zone. How about those Cubs? No judge zone, all right? So we have made being a holy Christian like this, right? We say, oh, you know that they're a holy Christian if not him. You know, they have this on their car, right? You know that they are a holy Christian man. Or if they are like 24/7 Christian radio, right? There's no Bruno Mars sneaking on their dial, all right? They're like total Christian radio. Or if they... At Christmas time, they make sure you know that Jesus is the real reason for the season, right? That's their Christmas card. They may say nothing else all year round, but if they get that Jesus on the Christmas card, you know that they're an authentic, holy Christian. Doing Christian-y things doesn't make you holy. Just like if I put on biker boots, it wouldn't make me a biker, right? That's not what it is. Holiness is a transformation of the heart. And it's only after the heart is transformed that the authentic, weird actions follow. You can have the wickedest heart in the world and have a big old honk if you love Jesus bumper sticker on it. It doesn't make you holy, right? You can attend church every week and be stealing money from your company. It happens. You could be the soloist in church and be sleeping with your sister's husband. It happens. Being weird, being holy, being set apart, going the Jesus path is about wanting to love and obey Jesus in your heart, not just playing the part. I remember when I was a teen in my church's youth group, and there was another girl my age. She had a very similar story to me. She was the only Christian in her family. Her mom, she lived with her mom. Her parents were divorced. Her mom lived with her and her mom's boyfriend. And she desperately, like I did, wanted her mom to know Jesus, wanted this the whole family to be changed. And so her mom was getting close. Her mom was actually willing to meet with some church ladies and talk with them. And she was asking all sorts of questions about Christianity. And I remember the day because I was actually there at the church that day. And my friend's mom was close. She was like crying and she was asking, how does she become a Christian and all about Jesus and salvation? And then she paused and she asked this church woman, this church lady, well, when I become a Christian, does my boyfriend have to move out of the house? And the woman said, without missing a beat, of course he has to move out of the house. And the woman said, well, then I can't become a Christian. The lady from church was so well-meaning, but she was so well wrong. She was wrong. She made Christian actions the first part of salvation. And that's not what it is. It's about the heart.
My friend's mom needed to first know Jesus. She needed to first fall in love with him. She needed to have this desire burning in her to follow him. And then the actions would have come into place. It's not the actions first and then the heart. It's the heart and then the actions. You know, our life should always be about increasing our desire to please Christ. Each day we should be weirder than the next because our desire has increased to follow him. If I say this phrase to you, tell me what you think of. It's morphing time. Shame. Thank you for sitting in the here today, Peyton. Yes, Power Rangers. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's morphing time. In John Ortberg's book, The Life You've Always Wanted, he compares the Christian's transformation to a Power Ranger setting, which is great. I think it's great that he uses that show. All right, so the Power Rangers, their rallying cry in moments of crisis was, it's morphin' time, right? And they, you laugh, but this is a great show. And they are transformed with the ability to do like extraordinary things. Now, did you know that the word, I'm going to show you how ignorant I am here. Did you know that the word morph has a very long history? I thought the writers of Power Rangers created that word for some reason, all right? But the word morph is actually a Greek word, morphou. But that, yeah, talk about that tonight, dinner. Morphou. Sounds French, but it's Greek. Morphou. And in this word morph means the inward and real formation of the essential nature of a person. I mean, let that soak in. It is the inward and real formation of the essential nature of a person. It's a term used to describe the growth of an embryo in a mother's body. It's something's growing and changing. It's the essence of you. Paul used this morphou, Power Rangers word, in Galatians 4:19. My children, with whom I am again in labor, until Christ is formed in you, until Christ is morphoued in you, until the essence of Christ in you just expresses Christ's character and goodness in your whole being. You're like essentially just morphing Christ from you. That's what it means. That's what holiness is. That's what set apart is. That's what being weird is from the inside out. It's Christ forming in you, morphou. Yeah. And it's not weird for the sake of being weird, right? It's not being good for the sake of being good. It's not showing love. You're supposed to show love. It's not honoring your parents because you don't want to lose your cell phone. It's not that idea. It's but being nothing less. It's but being able to be nothing less than the expression of Christ's character because it's just in you. That's holiness. It's just in you. It's your essence. You know, when morphing happens, it's not just that we do the things that Jesus would, you know, do. You know, what would Jesus do? It's not that we just act like Jesus. It's that we find ourselves wanting or desiring to act like him. It appeals to us. We become the right sort of person with weird desires. Our weird desires may be to serve our spouse. Our weird desire might be to forgive those who did us wrong. Our weird desire might be to be generous. Our weird desire is to be a living sacrifice, like Bucky preached on last week. Our weird desire is to be selfless, rather thinking of ourselves. Our weird desire is to love people. Our weird desire is to be a godly example. Our weird desire is to be holy. When we start analyzing who's a good Christian by outward appearances, what they wear on Sunday, or if they have a TV in their homes, or the amount of cross jewelry like Mr. T they have on their neck, right? Or how many verses that they've memorized, we are walking the line of a Pharisee. We are. Because it's similar to what the Pharisees did, right? They considered an outward holy markers like circumcision, dietary laws, Sabbath keeping. They believed that the outward practices distinguished who was holy, right? Didn't matter that they hated people. Didn't matter that they were rude and unkind. It was just that they followed the outward rules. But Jesus set them straight. Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It's your heart, isn't it? That's the holiness part. That's when holiness comes to be. I mean, remember our whole series on love? Look at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such a faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. You can have the biggest fish on your car, right? You can have the biggest offering in the basket every Sunday. People can know it. When you drop that 10-pound brick of gold in there, they will see it, right? You can sing like the Gaithers and preach like Tony Evans. But if your heart isn't right, if your heart doesn't desire holiness, you are not weird in a God way. You're normal. Jesus focused on this heart change, that inner heart. It says no more splitting allegiances. Don't do the splits. You are either moving towards me or you are moving towards the crowd. Those are your choices. Sheldon Von Auken wrote this. The strongest argument for Christianity is Christians when they are drawing life from God. The strongest argument against Christianity, also Christians, when they become exclusive, self-righteous, and complacent. If we are more concerned about appearing to be spiritual rather than being spiritual, our desires are mixed up. Our desire should always be to draw life from God, to be directed by God, to fall more in love with God, to follow him because we want to, because we desire to, not because we feel like we have to or we feel like others are watching. You know, God's primary assessment of our life when we get up to heaven is not going to be measured by how many Bible studies you showed up on time for or how many scripture verses you memorized or how many logs of prayer logs you had. He's not going to be handing out crowns because you chose nice words over harsh words. God looks at inward. He looks at the heart. And that's why we have to morph. We have to morph from the inside if we want to be weird in a God way. So we have to do. When it becomes your burning desire to morph, that's just fun to say, so I'm going to say it for the rest of the sermon. When it becomes this burning desire to morph, you are going to naturally be weird. And Jackie Chan will even notice, all right? He is going to notice. And the rest of the world are going to think you're weird too. And you're going to be made fun of. You're going to hear, why are you doing that? You used to do this. Or you're not fun anymore. I love when I hear that one. You're not fun anymore. Oh, yes, I am. All right, you're not fun anymore. Or what happened to you, right? All of a sudden, you're not going to be invited to certain parties anymore. All of a sudden, you're not going to be invited to share notes that are cheat sheets in college. All of a sudden, you're going to pick up on little comments, and you're going to start to be a little sensitive to the world's disapproval. But let me tell you this, David, all right? King David, I mean, King of Israel, God's appointed king, went through this when he started acting weird. Look at this. Psalm 69, 9 through 12. Passion for your house has consumed me. He's being more food. And the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. When I weep and fast, they scoff at me. When I dress in burlap to show sorrow, they make fun of me. I am the favorite topic of town gossip, and all the drunks sing about me. He is being made fun of. And he's the king in the palace, the good-looking harp-playing king. And they are mocking him. David says, once this passion for you, this inward change for you, this morphing consumed me, I got made fun of. I was different. The drunk sang songs about me. That's pretty amazing. You guys know Will Smith? I mean, not personally, but you've heard of him? Yeah. He's a famous TV, movie, rapper, singer. Do you know, I'm not talking about his faith, but do you know that he's mocked and made fun of? I'll tell you why he's mocked and made fun of. He's like the only rapper that raps clean lyrics. Yeah. Like, he doesn't talk about beating women. He doesn't talk trash. He doesn't talk about all those things that we're accustomed to in the rap world. He's a respectful rapper. So guess what? They make fun of him. So here he is being made fun of.
Ooh. I respect women when I'm on a date. I take them to the park, I made the Yum Museum, man. I only try to kiss them if they're in there. Woohoo! What? I say, what? Help out your mom and dad by getting a job so you can help pay for school supplies. Woohoo! Say, woo! Wipe your shoes on the mat when you come in the house. Someone just clean that floor. Woohoo! Say, what?
That is not them thinking he's great. That's them mocking him because he's different. He's weird. He raps clean, right? Church, if you're not being made fun of, something's wrong. If people aren't mocking you and not inviting you to things or not saying certain things around you, you're probably not inwardly morphing. Because when you inwardly morph, it just naturally happens. You know, and when it starts to happen, people are going to want you back. They are going to want you back. You ever heard of the saying, the crabs in a bucket? You can put a bunch of crabs in a bucket, and guess what? You don't even need to put a lid on it. Because as soon as one figures out how to get out, the other one grabs them and pulls them back down. It's a fact. And when you are trying to be morphed and you are just naturally looking weird and acting different and being holy and set apart, you're going to have people trying to grab you down and bring you back down to normalness. When you used to be fun, they're going to be trying to grab you. And I'm not just talking about the world. I'm talking about Christians who have decided to live normal in the normal world because there is comfort when other people are doing what you're doing, right? And they're going to say to you, man, partying was so much better with you. Oh, gossip was so much more colorful with you. Complaining about work and bosses was just sweeter with you, right? Cheating on a test just feels right with you. Being rude to that kid in school is just what you and I do together. It's our thing, right? And they are going to be trying to grab at you to pull you back into the bucket. There's comfort in the crowd because that's what makes it feel normal. That's what makes it feel right. But when your desire for God grows, when you morph, you will be weird. But for the rest of your life, you are always going to have a gravitational pull to bring you back to normal. Do you know why you're going to have that pull to bring you back to normal? We desire to please. We do. I do. I do, right? We want people to like us. We want to blend in. You know, we worry what people think about us. Proverbs 29:25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. I'm throwing a lot of Greek at you today, but this is actually a Hebrew word. Moquish, trap. Do you know what it actually means? Am I saying that wrong? Moquish? No. Sounds like a show on the U.
Yes.
Something that will follow Judge Mathis, which I was on Tuesday. All right, so Moquish, trap. This literally means the hook in an animal's nose. That's what it means, Moquish. Or I don't know how to say it, all right, Moquish. And if you think, you just thought the bull was trendy, right? But this is actually the hook that controls the bull. The bull can be yanked, this many pound bull, I don't know how much they weigh, can be yanked and move around once that ring is in their nose, once that trap is in there, because the animal feels the pain, has to follow where it's being directed. When you are operating under the desire to please people, it's like the world has put a hook in your nose and you're just following it to avoid pain. It's usually not physical pain. We're following it to avoid maybe loneliness or rejection or feeling hurt or alone, whatever that is. But 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with God's news. Say this with me in black. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. We can fall into that trap of pleasing people, but our purpose is to please God. And we start with that by desiring to please him. To be excited that Christ wants to form inside us. That's crazy, but he wants to do that, right? And if we allow him to do that, then we got to trust that he's going to take care of the rest. Because fearing people is a dangerous trap, hook, pull, but trusting the Lord means safety,
right? So desiring to please people is our first reason that's going to keep pulling us back to normal. Our second one's going to be persecution, right? It's not only bad that they think those things or we want them to like us, but when we start feeling that we are treated unfairly or badly, criticism, snide remarks, especially if you're the only Christian in your family, that even hurts more because you're dealing with that from your own family, right? Or not being invited to social things or being treated as odd at work, you know, when you walk into the workroom, everyone's quiet, you know, you're feeling that way. Or sometimes it means demotions. It does in our world. Or sometimes it means no dates. I like to believe that's why I had none in high school. But who knows, you know? No dates or you're looked at funny or you're ridiculed or you're left out. But Jesus told us there was going to, if we followed him, this is what it was going to be like. He was straight up with us. He pulled no punches. It says, if the world hates you, remember, it hated me first, right? The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. You're on the normal path. But you're no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. He pulls no punches here. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than the master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would have listened to you. If you are weird in a God way, you will be persecuted. It comes with the territory. If you're not being persecuted, then you're not standing out. And that means you're not morphing. You're not inwardly changing. So what do? We need an honest assessment of ourselves. Where are you at? How weird are you? I mean, do you desire to please God or people? Are you split? I mean, think. I mean, don't answer out loud. You know, think. Are you split? Most of us do the splits. If you are split and you desire to go, but if you're split right now and you desire to go the God way, the Jesus path, how's your heart? I mean, do you do churchy things out of obligation? Do you do churchy things out of for appearance? Or is it because your desire to love God? And if your heart's not there, it needs to be morphed. The good news is it can be morphed. It can be changed, right? Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will help you fall in love with him. If you desire that, he will give that to you. I want to give you a start. Memorize on this verse. Just memorize it this week. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and your mind. Just ask him, I want that. And if you keep saying that and thinking that and asking God for that, he is going to do that for you. He's a God who gives us everything we need. If you want to love him, he's going to give you that. The next thing you need to do is you got to get rid of sin. It's very hard to morph if you are holding on to sin. So whatever it is that you have become a slave to, you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it. And he will give you the power to get rid of it. So ask him to help you get rid of it and then start living victoriously over that sin. And you will experience, wow, I didn't know I was in that cloud of sin. And you're going to see things in a whole different way. Your desire for the Lord is just going to like go up 4,000%. Then the next thing is just spend time with him. Not out of obligation, not because I call you on Monday when you weren't here on Sunday, all right? Spend time with him. Date him. Get to know him. Go to another church where you don't know anyone and just worship. Then come back. Okay, come back to us. Stay there, all right? All right? Go and just do church and worship and be with him because you love him, not because we're great people and you enjoy Cinder's hugs. Go and just do it. Try something. Get excited to read God's word. Read a little bit every day and say, insert your name and say, this is God's love letter to me. And just enjoy him. Talk to him. You know, someone in my Bible study said, before I go to the phone, I go to the throne. You know, when something starts to bother you, go to the throne. See how many times we go to some friend or an email or we shoot off something, we post something on social media. Something's bothering us. Go to the throne. Tell him about it. If you desire an inward change, if you desire to be morphed because you want to be weird in a God way, he's not going to hold back his power. He wants to form inside you. And when that happens, you are going to be different and you are going to be weird and you are going to stand out and you are going to be persecuted and you're going to feel like maybe you should hold back because those crabs are pulling you back down and you're going to have to say, I'm tired of normal. I'm tired of being normal. I want weird. I want to be weird.
In a God way.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you give us the power to be morphed, to be transformed, God. That you start in our heart and that just explodes out different actions, Father. Not for the sake of being weird, but because it's just a natural essence of you inside us. So, Father, I pray this for our church. I pray this for the church as a whole across the world, Father, that we would be transformed by you, that your essence would just spew from our mouth and our heart and our bodies, God, and we would see an unbelievable revolution of just you, Christ, in this world. And I ask, Father, when the evil one wants to put us back into the bucket or people around us are well-meaning and they just want us to join with them, Father, that we would have the power through that same power that raised you from the dead, Christ Jesus, that we would be able to say no to that, that our desire would be so strong that we would want nothing less than what you want. Help us to stop doing splits, God. Help us to be on your path with our whole heart, our whole desire. It's in your name.